What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
You're wasting another Saturday night with Josh Hadley and Kat.
You're very sad.
Before we really get into this, I've encouraged you to send me stories, so you've started to do that. So for this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Kat, tell us about glitter being a terrorist act.
Okay, so I found this wonderful article where some anti-fracking protesters were jailed as terrorists for using too much glitter on a sign.
All that glitters is gold.
Yeah. Well, as we all know, glitter is the herpes of craft supplies. So I can actually understand them being upset about there being too much glitter. But let's be real here.
Upset and terrorism are not the same thing.
You should never be jailed because of glitter. I mean, that's ridiculous. Okay, so there was these two activists who were doing an anti-fracking protest at an energy company in Oklahoma City. They had to put up this banner that they were hanging from like a second story balcony or something on the inside of this building. And apparently the glitter got all over the place. So people, I guess, like, they called the cops and they said, well, this is a substance. We can't identify what it is. So it could be hazardous. And so they were arrested for a terrorism hoax. Like, they had been threatening people with the glitter or something, or making people think that the glitter could potentially be harmful, which is completely ridiculous. This is retarded.
Well, see, there are two things going on at here. Company in question, the one that was being protested, was called TransCanada. Obviously, a lot of people don't like fracking. A lot of the organizations that do these kind of things, they get protested, they deal with extremists, and they go to extreme lengths to deal with extremists. Which actually sounds like a really bad catchphrase for a movie now that I say it out loud. So what happens is they're starting to get real fast and loose with the law, and because they give so much money to local political organizations, they have a lot of sway with local sheriff's departments, local police departments, local prosecutors. So the law gets bent more often than it doesn't. So I think what TransCanada is trying to do is they're trying to send a message by using this whole unidentified substance that we can get you on terrorism charges. It even goes back to, I can't remember if it was the beginning of this year or the end of last year. Remember when that extra on The Walking Dead sent some kind of white powder to Obama? And they, it's that kind of thing. That's what they're going for. Although I don't think that these activists were trying to do that. They literally just didn't glue all their glitter on.
I mean, glitter is kind of horrible for a craft supply. It does get everywhere no matter how hard you try. But it's such a trumped up charge. It's almost embarrassing, actually, that the police are getting away with such a charge when they have to know that it's completely false and ridiculous.
It is. Now, if the activists had said, see that substance on the floor, now you're all contaminated, that would have changed everything. But they didn't. They even said, sorry, we got some glitter on your floor.
And they said it to the person who was cleaning it up, and the person who was cleaning up just smiled at them.
What's next? Is confetti a terrorist act? Birdseed? Or how about at a wedding when you're throwing out rice? Can that be a terrorist act if maybe it's a left-wing pinko wedding? Where's this going to stop, Kat?
The slippery slopes, man. Slippery slope.
Exactly. So to me, this is dumbest thing. It absolutely is, because this is ridiculous. The glitter was ruled a, quote, suspicious and scary substance.
Well, I agree that glitter is suspicious and scary, because you will never, ever get it out of your clothes or your skin or wherever you get it. That is entirely beside the point.
It's glitter. This was a protest, and this is, we're going to be having a weird theme tonight that was unintended. It is a violation of free speech, because it's finding a way, we don't like what you're saying, so we will bend the law to find a way that you can't say it. From that, let's move on. It's free speech. This guy can say the stupid shit that he wants to say. Jack Kingston is a Republican, which shouldn't surprise you at all. He's one of these people that feels that food stamps is freeloading, that free lunches are things that will wreck a person. People should always be paying for something, that nobody should literally or figuratively get a free lunch, Kat. So he's come up with an idea for kids that get free lunch at school. I'm quoting here, Kat, okay?
Okay, lay it on me.
But one of the things I've talked to the Secretary of Agriculture about, why don't you have the kids pay a dime, pay a nickel, to instill in them that there is, in fact, no such thing as a free lunch? Or maybe, just maybe, sweep the floor of the cafeteria. And yes, I understand that that would be an administrative problem, and I understand that it would probably lose money. But think what we would gain as a society in getting people, in getting the myth out of their head that there is such a thing as a free lunch.
I don't think that's an administrative problem. I think there's a severe ethical problem going on here about, I don't think you're supposed to work kids. I could be wrong here. I don't know every state law, but there are, like, rules about how long kids are supposed to work. And there are laws about having to provide food for those students who, have those certain qualifications. And that, like, why would you admit that something would lose money and then think that this is still a good idea?
Because it's got that weird Republican. Remember, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Paying them above minimum wage makes them not want to ever go out and better themselves. So by paying them like crap, we're instilling beliefs to be a better person into themselves because they want to get out of that. This is more of that Republican. Everyone who gets any kind of aid is a freeloader. Make them work for it.
Oh, Lordy. And why should children be exempt? Because they're all a bunch of freeloaders, but we're only going to target the poor ones.
And see, unfortunately, this isn't new. I think it was 2 years ago, Newt Gingrich said something very similar to this. He was sick of all these kids getting, you know, people were giving them their school books for free, and kids are able to go to school without having to pay anything, and he came up with the same solution. Have them be part-time janitors on the weekends or after school. Make them earn their education.
Because he did, right?
What the fuck is it with Republicans? Well, there's that, of course.
It could have something to do with the fact that Republicans try and make you ashamed of being smart, but that's a whole nother story.
Well, trust me, we'll be getting into that in the next segment.
Oh, could he?
Let's stick with this stupidity right now. But this whole thing that kids should not have a free lunch. Literally, they should not get lunch for free. They should have to work for it. First of all, let's just say, for the sake of argument, Kat, that that's a viable option, okay? Doesn't that violate child labor laws?
Absolutely.
And this is coming from one of the state representatives, so shouldn't he know that?
Well, I'm sure he doesn't care. Republicans, man. Republicans.
There's the aspect of, this is another big Republican thing, you should be ashamed of being poor. Why should you be ashamed of being poor? As a kid, you can't help it. You can't help if your dad has a crappy job. You can't help if your mom has problems. Why should you be ashamed of what you are? Hey, rich Republicans, are you ashamed of being rich? No, you're not. So these kids shouldn't be ashamed of being fucking poor.
It's really stupid to say that all kids need to go to school and that school should be free because you shouldn't have to pay for something that you're required to be at, like school. So that's why we have these requirements that schools should provide meals for children who don't have the money at home to feed themselves, or their parents don't have the money for it. And that's the reason why. So it would be like forcing a uniform for kids that can't afford a uniform, and saying, well, you have to buy this even if you can't afford it. And that seems like something that that Republicans would be very much against. So of course we provide them free meals because we're forcing them to be here. So we have to make sure that they can be here and that they're not going to fall over and die while they're here.
I think it was Jillian and I handled one maybe 2 years ago. Again, Republicans. A Republican school, I think it was in, or a Republican-backed senator, I think it was in like Georgia, Tennessee, it was some southern state. They were coming up short on the football team getting new uniforms. So the one program they could cut to find the money, the free breakfast for poor kids. Fuck the poor kids. The football team needs new uniforms. That's what our priority is as a school, right? Kids eating? No, no, no. These guys need shiny, laundered uniforms to play football. Oh, and also, being on the football team costs money. Poor kids aren't able to do that. It's just more rich white people complimenting rich white people for being rich white people.
AKA the Republican Party.
Yeah, that's what it boils down to, really. And then We go from that. This isn't necessarily Republican, because there are lots of religious Democrats as well, and religious independents. But you've always heard the whole tax-exempt status for the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this is in my state of Wisconsin is going to be a fun little battleground, because as we've discussed previously, I have Imperial Walker running my state. Well, a Wisconsin federal judge, Barbara Crabb of the Western District of Wisconsin, has just struck down the tax exemption for preachers as being unconstitutional.
Ooh, bold move.
Quoting here, Wisconsin Law 26 U.S.C. Section 107-2 violates the Establishment Clause because the exemption provides a benefit to religious persons and no one else, even though doing so is not necessarily to alleviate a special burden on religious exercise. Essentially, when this law was made, it was, your religious expression should be tax-free because it should not cost you money to express your religious beliefs. Kind of the exact opposite of the feeding poor kids thing we were just talking about. But obviously, the Catholic Church and these organizations misuse this. So it's been challenged, and the Wisconsin judge found it to be unconstitutional. Obviously, this could get overruled by the Supreme Court. But let's just say right-wing conservatives are losing their minds over this, as you can probably guess.
Oh, of course.
What would happen if all of a sudden, say January 1st, the tax exemption for churches goes out? What do you think would happen to this country in a realistic way?
I cannot see the future. Probably not much would actually change. That always seems to be the way it goes.
Actually, a lot would change.
Okay. What? Like what?
Like everything. Because churches are so integrated into helping poor people. And I'm talking, you know, your local branches, not the church as an institution. To helping people, to running homeless shelters, to food, to soup kitchens and whatnot. All of those would all of a sudden be costing money. Now, you also have to remember, the church as an organization, though, runs at a major, major profit. They run to profits that are almost something like 400 times their output. All of a sudden, this would be costing them money. All of a sudden, I think you would start to see the church's true colors. We can't run that homeless shelter anymore. It's costing us money? You know what? Hobos, you can freeze. This would change everything. All of a sudden, Bibles would no longer be tax deductible. Religious travel would no longer be tax deductible. You would have to have preachers actually earning a living. Imagine
Gasp.
That.
Gasp!
One of the reasons that this actually came up is the church kind of did it to themselves. The church, many church organizations, wandered into the political arena. When your local church endorses the mayor, when your local church endorses the senator, when the church, the Catholic Church as an organization, endorses a presidential candidate, that's a violation of the tax-free status. They cannot be involved in politics at all. In your entire life, Kat, have you ever seen the church not involved in politics?
No, if for no other reason than politicians also go out of their way to involve the church.
Well, see, okay, in that way, it's kind of a one-way door. A politician can say, I want to do this for my church, and that doesn't violate the law. On the other hand, if the church says, I want to do this for my politician, it does. So it is kind of a one-way door the way it swings. And I don't have a problem with that, because the politicians have a right to their religious freedom, and they can express that as they choose. On the other hand, the religions do not have a right to express their political views. Some people see that as being one-sided, and it is for a reason.
I agree. I think it's really great if they stop being tax-exempt so that they can actually – so that we, the taxpayers, save a lot of money. The church has to start taking responsibility and spending wisely. Yeah, you see with the Pope, the new Pope, compared to previous popes, where the new Pope is way more fiscally conservative and he shows it. And I think this is going to potentially become a new trend of what we can only hope, churches and church leaders acting in a more responsible manner.
Do you want to hear some numbers?
Yes.
Over the five-year period between 2002 and 2007, it's estimated that the church did not pay $2.3 billion in taxes to the U.S. government.
Jesus.
okay, we've got a deficit that's growing every day. And the church is going, well, I'm not paying my fair share of that. We're the church. We don't have to. And when I say the church, again, I don't just mean the organization. Your local pastor doesn't pay property taxes. Your local pastor, I mean, you know, if they go into a store, they got to pay, you know, taxes for an item they buy and whatnot. They don't pay taxes for the money that the church pays them. All of the things that they do to the church, maybe adding a new wing onto it, tax-free, $2.3 billion in the five-year period between 02 and 07. Think of how much that could have helped the government. Think of how much, go back to the bailout of 2008. Think about what that would have done to the economic depression we almost got into in 2008. How would that have changed things, Kat, if an extra $2.3 billion were in the coffers?
I definitely can think of where to put that kind of money. And it's certainly not into churches. And I say this because I live near a lot of really, really douchebaggy kind of churches where they have television programs and they are these giant palaces of churches that are lavish and have, they're up on hills and they have these beautiful architecture. And I just look at that and I go, why aren't you feeding the homeless or something with all the money that you spend on building this fucking building? Why can't you put that to real practical use? And that's why I have so many problems with at least the churches in my area. There's the good ones, but like there's these just monstrosities hanging around that sort of just put me off entirely.
Oh, I don't disagree at all. I think the church is one of the most wasteful organizations out there. But at the same time, I have seen in my community, the local branches of the churches honestly help people that really did need it. So that's why I try to separate the local small town church with the church as an institution, because to me, they're different. I see the church as an institution as one of the most evil and corrupt organizations out there. I see the local churches actually doing good and actually helping people. So I try and separate those two things, but sometimes when I'm ranting, they kind of coalesce unintentionally.
So would this tax exemption, for example, would that hurt the local churches?
It would. So
that kind of sucks.
It does, but I think the institution of the church needs a good bitch slap.
Because it's let's be honest, is that tax exemption, is that even fair compared to...
Well, it's absolutely not fair. It's saying, hey, because of what you believe, you don't have to pay taxes, but the rest of you do. I mean, hell, look at Scientology. Scientology was a scam created by L. Ron Hubbard so he didn't have to pay taxes anymore. That's been verified.
It's a verifiable fact.
Obviously, this is going to be challenged. The religious right, hell, the right just in general is going to be challenging this. The church as an institution is going to be challenging it. I really do see in 2014 a major Supreme Court decision on this, and one way or the other, it's going to change everything. Because if they keep this, then it's just going to bolster the church to be more wasteful. Or if they side with this ruling from Wisconsin, it's going to change everything. So either way, this is a game changer, I think.
Well, it'll definitely be interesting to see how it all pans out.
So on that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Kat, you don't get to talk because you don't have free speech, according to Fox News.
Oh, well, according to Fox News, it must be true.
Union. Stop pretending that you've never been bad. It's a merry fucking Christmas here at Heart Attack. I am Hart D. Fisher with my good buddy, Mr. Josh Hadley.
Is there a reason you went hillbilly for that?
Yeah, in honor of Mr. Duck from the Duck Dynasty.
Oh,
stick
God,
by
we're
your
back
guns,
to that.
Sir. Stick by your guns. But enough about that guy, because in America, it seems that Americans are more interested in who calls who a faggot instead of what happens to a $4 million business. That's right.
$4 billion.
Fuck that bullshit. Oh, that's right. $4 billion here, guys. So while all America has been talking up and down about whether or not Alec Baldwin called this reporter a cocksucking fag or a cocksucking faggot, or whether the guy from Duck Dynasty is a dick for using the word fag or saying that homos are like bestiality, while they're distracting you morons with that bullshit, the NSA fallout hits American business to the tune of $4 billion. Did I stutter? No. Thanks to illegal NSA spying around the world, Brazil ditches out on their purchase of Boeing's FA-18 in favor of Saab's JAS-39 Gripen over the NSA's rogue behavior. And they... Brazil's Defense Department announced that Brazil will buy the Swedish fighter jet, according to multiple Brazilian sources. The direct reason for rejecting Boeing's FA-18 was the United States' hostile and unacceptable spying behavior against Brazil and the rest of the world. So you heard it, folks. Our company, Boeing, just lost $4 billion because of illegal NSA spying. What other contracts are we going to lose because of this? What other trade agreements are going to get fucked because our government does not know how to act like fucking adults?
How Obama still pushes that we need this is ridiculous. The fallout has just been monstrous. And he's still, well, we need this. It's for our safety. It's for our safety.
Obama's a puppet, dude. He's a god. He's nothing but a puppet on the string. I don't want to hear any more shit about fucking Obama. That dude, his hair is falling out. He looks like shit. He looks terrible, man. He's always got an ill look on his face. His eyes don't have a spark in him anymore. They're telling him what he's going to do, and that's it. Do you think for one fucking minute that Obama is in charge, Josh?
Not really. He's the mouthpiece.
Exactly. He's the actor who's working for the NSA. He's the actor who's pretending that these are his policies. They call it Obamacare, but it's not Obamacare. It is the Affordable Health Care Act, and the right wing dubbed it Obamacare because it's a mind fuck. So while they want us all to look at that left hand that's jerking somebody off, the right hand is fisting you right up the goddamn ass.
And a lot of the public won't see it like that because, again, Hart, we're conspiracy mongers. Everything we've said has been true, but... We're just grasping at straws. We believe in this weird stuff, true or not, right?
And it's true, guys. This is what's really going on. Boeing lost $4 billion thanks to the assholes in the NSA. And guess what, guys? We can shut them down. We helped stop the Trans-Pacific Treaty, didn't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we rose up as a nation, because we rose up and we made our voices heard, we delayed this rammed through Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement that was going to be a treaty that was going to be a horrendous boondoggle for every human being on this planet. And thank God we got it delayed. We got to keep on these guys, because you know what, folks, these politicians, they may think they work for the politicians because there's money in their hands, but we're the voters and we control this. Now, the vote is very important and your backdoor vote is very important. Now, I'm not making an ass joke. I'm making a joke about your own backyard, about politics in your own backyard. And I know it's getting fucking boring hearing it from me, but this is the shit that's take back the White House. This is the shit that's going to take back our government. This is what the right wing did to us. You want to know why there's a crazy anti-scientist, pro-Christian weirdness lobby where school texts are all changing? It's because in the 90s, they figured out that their right-wing policies were not in step with mainstream America. So they went after the appointments and they went after the low-level elected positions that have been neglected by your average American. And that's why we've got a scumbag here in L.A. like a Jose Huizar from Mexico, who's now here in City Hall putting kids in poison parks. and giving building developments a free pass on fire codes and earthquake preparedness codes and things that are about safety for families. And then they pat themselves on the back. Guys, you could be in office. You could be doing something right. It's not that hard. Go to your local city hall. See where you can get a job. See where you can get in. Sneak your way in. Get in there. And then do your own agenda. Take back America for Americans. All right? That's what this is about. I'm really angry about this. $4 billion. You guys, how many people at Boeing are going to get laid off now? How many Americans are going to lose their fucking job now? Because this news just comes out right in time for Christmas. Because, you know, corporate America, they're real friendly, aren't they? They can't wait to take care of their employees. I bet you those motherfuckers at Boeing are laying off people before Christmas.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that at all. And I would also think, would they honestly be able to sue the U.S. government since it is outright the NSA's fault? So would they actually be able to sue for loss of profits?
I think
an enterprising lawyer should look into that, honestly. That'd be a cool lawsuit.
I think that it would make a big, big difference because this isn't the only thing that our government bullshit has fucked up. There's major problems with our air traffic control system. And due to the government shutdown, the new traffic control system is being delayed and it's fucking everything up. Our people in government are a bunch of cocksucking pieces of shit that don't give a fuck about the citizens of this country. Now, I'm sure there's good politicians out there or else we'd be in real bad trouble. But right now, folks, you got to make your voice heard. That's part of why they want to control the web. That's why they want to ram through a censorship treaty with everybody. Oh, I'm sorry, Trans-Pacific Partnership Treaty. They want to break us down. They want us to fight with each other. They want us to fight over who can say fag and who can't. They want us to fight over whether or not you can say nigger on the air. They want us to fight over words when they're screwing us in the ass. Our people in government are just bait and switch, man. They are just getting us all to fight with each other. They run these mass media conglomerations. And I think America's sick of it, dude. I really do. I think I'm seeing a lot of movement with the youth away from digital technology. They've already said that kids are getting away from Facebook. I think things are on that we're really on a major change. I mean, this notion that the FBI is spying on regular citizens through their cameras of their iPhone or what have you, they're turning on microphones of people's cameras and computers. So all those little pundits that are like, oh, I just put tape over my fucking camera. Suck my dick, you fucking moron. There's a microphone that they could turn it up. They turn the microphone up.
That's also not the point whether you can do it in your house to stop it. It's institutionalized.
They shouldn't be able to. Why the fuck? I'm going to shut up, Josh. You rant.
It's institutionalized. That's the problem. It's not just, well, I can put tape over my webcam. There, I fixed it. Now it doesn't matter. Just because you put your head in the sand doesn't mean the threat goes away. What happens when you put your head in the sand? It puts your ass in the air and makes it easier for them to fuck you in it.
You know what, Josh? That's pretty fucking smart, man, because let's face it. I went to college. I lived in the dorm room, guys. And when you're in the dorm room, you got your computer that you do your homework on and shit, and it's facing towards your bed most of the time. So when you're making out with your honey or you're having your first gay experimentation in college, there's an eye on you, there's a microphone on you, and you don't know if it's watching you or not. You may think you're clever with your little fucking duct tape, but it doesn't matter. They're going to have an audio file of your moaning and groaning while you're getting fucked in the ass or sucking a cock or you're eating vagina on vagina. Whatever you're doing, they're going to have something on you. You know, as you're a kid and you're doing your thing, you're experimenting. You're trying to find out who you are and what you're about. And now they've got a camera on you all the time. Now they're spying on your Facebook. Facebook actually is keeping track of what you don't post. Yeah, that's right, guys. We're going to get into that on a later show.
Tackle that in a different episode because I do want to talk about that.
Different episode, but hey, we're at the end of Heart Attack. I want everybody out there to have a really great Christmas, an awesome holiday season. I want to thank Todd at Jackalope. I want to thank Josh for making this show happen. I'm really happy that you guys brought me on and made me a part of the Jackalope family. And I'm having a great time doing this show. I want to thank all the listeners. Guys, you're fucking great. I'm having a good time. I know it's weird for me to not be yelling and screaming, but I just wanted to end the year with something positive. This has been an amazing show. Josh has been a great guy to get to know. That's what I got to say. Merry fucking Christmas, motherfuckers.
Government of the people, for the people, by the people. speech, a First Amendment protects material, presumptively.
We don't talk about harassing and sexually brutalizing women in my music, man. We don't do that in my music, man. I'm tired of you saying that.
We've got white collar people trying to grab our style, saying we're too nasty and we're too live. Corrupted politicians playing games, bringing us down to boost their fame. They must be joking, thinking we were poor, but they're like flies moving the wall. We stand tall from beginning to end, with help from fans and all our friends. Freedom of speech will never die, for us to have our ancestors died. Don't keep thinking that we will quit, we'll always stand and never sit. We're too live, too black, too strong, doing the right thing and not the wrong. So listen up, y'all, to what we say, we won't be banned in the USA. Your brother get as rich as you. This is the 90s and we're coming on strong, saying things and doing things that you're saying's wrong. Wising up, cause on election day we'll see who's banned in the USA.
So, Kat, do you watch Duck Dynasty at all?
Oh, you're being serious. No.
Yeah, I was being serious. I don't know if you watch that show.
No, not at all. Not for any reason.
Well, you know about the current controversy that's going around, right?
Well, I don't live under a rock, so yes.
It's almost unavoidable, really.
Yeah.
If you're on the internet, you hear about this one way or the other.
It's like glitter. It's unavoidable.
The Duck Dynasty... what's his name?
Phil Robertson, dude.
Oldest hillbilly in the group. He made a bunch of disparaging comments about gays, which are bringing him under a lot of fire. He also made a whole bunch of disparaging comments about blacks, which somehow are not getting him crap for. But I don't understand that one. I guess GLAAD is more powerful than the NAACP in this case, but I don't know. He made all these comments and A&E suspended him. Now, first, let's go into the fact that this is not reality. These guys are total frauds. Have you seen those photos of them from about 5 or 6 years ago?
No, probably because I try to pay no attention to Duck Dynasty at all whatsoever. So is there like a big difference?
They were yuppies. Short hair, clean shaven, wearing polos, living in large yuppie houses. They were straight out yuppies until they were approached by A&E. And they said, well, people aren't going to back a yuppie company that makes duck calls. So they decided to play up the hillbilly angle. The entire show is a fraud. These guys are actors, straight out. This is yet another case of unreality shows.
Yeah, I mean, it's reality TV, therefore nothing can possibly be true.
So first of all, there's the fact that these people are frauds. Then there's the fact that you think it's a coincidence that A&E suspended Duckfucker here 1 week before the fourth season premiere of Duck Dynasty, whipping up all this fervor? To me, this is all a publicity scheme. There's no way that this was not planned from day one.
Okay, let's pretend for a moment that it wasn't all completely planned. It's doing them way more good than it is harm because they are getting everybody in the world to talk about it. So it's kind of like, it's like Miley Cyrus. It's an attention grab that's going to get everybody talking about it so everyone will pay attention. And it's a scheme. It's all bullshit.
And on top of that, it's working. Not only is there the DVDs are selling more, they're being watched more. Ironically enough, they're being pirated more on the Pirate Bay, but
that's kind of funny.
Their merchandise has been selling out at a faster rate since Duckfucker was fired.
Walmart must be doing so well right now.
I was in a Walmart recently. You cannot escape these guys. They are on every piece of merchandise you can think of.
Oh, man. Hoosiers. God.
And then it comes out that the anti-gay comments, those aren't even new either. The specific ones that he's in trouble for are new. Somebody dug up an old video of him from about 3 years ago speaking at what's essentially a Klan rally, but that's not what it was, where he made some of the same comments. So it's not like this just came out, that A&E just found out about this. There's a bigger topic here. Our favorite punching bag, Sarah Palin, has thrown in on this. Of course she
has. Oh, goody,
right?
Goody. I need some entertainment.
Well, and so has Fox News, Geraldo Rivera, Bobby Jindal. They are all claiming that A&E, going from the assumption that this is not a publicity scheme, okay, that A&E is taking away Duckfucker's First Amendment rights as guaranteed by the United States Constitution.
Oh, they've apparently never read a constitution. I mean, we already know that, but, you know.
Explain that, because you are absolutely correct.
So what the amendment, the First Amendment, guarantees you basically the freedom from the government or, you know, the military or the police or whatever, reprimanding you for, you know, voicing your thoughts. So you can't be put in prison for having an opinion. And that's about all it guarantees. It doesn't guarantee you repercussions from your employer when you are spewing vitriol.
Uh-huh. That's the point that I love, that Sarah Palin, remember, she seems to think free speech means nobody gets to tell me what to do. Back when she was still running for Veep, she tried to claim that MSNBC, who would not run her press conference, was taking away her First Amendment rights.
God, she's such an idiot.
MSNBC has the right to air who and what they want, the same as A&E. And first of all, I've seen reality show contracts. I was not on a reality show because I would not sign the contract as they had it written. Reality show contracts have an ethics clause, which, again, working under the assumption this is not a publicity scheme, Duckfucker violated. And by the way, I keep calling him Duckfucker. This man made $1 million off tricking ducks into thinking that he wanted to have sex with them. So Duckfucker is appropriate.
I never thought about it that way. Okay.
Am I wrong, though?
Oh, no, not at all. That's why it's so wonderful.
So Duckfucker is what I'm calling him because it fits.
It's a trap.
So not only is there the First Amendment thing, which is just showing how stupid this all is, but then we've got Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal siding with Sarah Palin. Now, the reason that Bobby Jindal is being brought into this as sort of a, huh? 2 years ago, Bobby Jindal went to the Republican National Convention, rightfully told them, we have to stop being the party of stupid. So for Bobby Jindal to be claiming that A&E is removing his First Amendment rights, that's the ironic part, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of like, you, sir, should know better.
You are now acting as the party of stupid again.
The other claim that I love to hear conservatives talk about is that this is a war on Christianity.
Well, yeah, of course it's a war on Christianity, because to them, everything's a war on Christianity. There's another angle to this, though. Not only that, what did we talk about 3 weeks ago with Sarah Palin and Martin Bashir?
Yeah.
So isn't it ironic that Sarah Palin, who in one of her quotes said, why doesn't MSNBC do something about what this guy said, is now yelling at A&E for doing something about what this guy said? The hypocrisy is so thick it almost makes my head go scanners. So Sarah Palin can do this to Martin Bashir, but when someone tries to have issues with what Duckfucker says, violation of free speech! But what Martin Bashir said about me? That's not free speech, damn it, and he should be fired. How dare you fire this guy for saying something far less offensive than what I got Martin Bashir fired for? Wait, what?
You gotta love Sarah Palin, because she provides so much enraging entertainment.
You want me to add one more?
Oh, by all means.
I have a quote from Sarah Palin about this.
Oh, let's hear it.
Quoting, free speech is an endangered species. These, in quotes, intolerance, hatin'. By the way, I'm reading this as she wrote it, so the grammar is not mine. These intolerance, hatin', and taken on the Duck Dynasty patriarch for voicing his personal opinion are taken on all of us. Unquote. So first of all, you've got the, wait a minute, that's not even well written. I mean, in a grammar sense. Those intolerance, hatin', and taken on. Okay, sure, whatever. But free speech is an endangered species. When you just spent an entire week getting Martin Bashir fired for his free speech. I really hate this woman, Kat. Why? I think she is, without a doubt, the stupidest person that has constantly given a voice.
Well, not going to argue that, because you can't. I don't understand why they let her do her own tweets and like social media updates. How does she not have a PR person who steps in and goes, wait a minute, perhaps you should use complete sentences. Everybody already thinks you're a fucking idiot. Maybe we should put a filter on you.
Unless this is all part of PR, and maybe she is stupid like a fox.
Maybe, but I doubt it.
I doubt it too. But then, besides Sarah Palin and Bobby Jindal and Fox News, I mean, Fox News spent almost three straight days on every program talking about how A&E is violating his free speech. You guys have news in your title. Even if you don't believe it, there are other people that do. Stop being stupid. But now we come to the one that just happened this weekend, the Justine Sacco incident. It really does tie into this. Justine Sacco is a private citizen. She's not a public face like Duckfucker is, like Sarah Palin, like Bobby Jindal. Justine Sacco has 174 followers on Twitter. Again, private citizen. She was working for a New York-based communications company, and she was on a flight to Africa for business. And she tweeted, quoting, going to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS, just kidding, I'm white. All right, that's bad in and of itself. Fine, fair enough. But somebody on her 174 followers got offended by this, and it got picked up by BuzzFeed and the New York Times and the New York Daily News and the Hollywood Reporter, and it just kind of kept snowballing to the point where people were getting so offended at this woman that's, again, not a public figure. This is important. They got her fired. The company that she works for was so offended that they fired her, and she didn't even know about this. Because she was on the flight to Africa, she had no internet access. She had a job when she took off. When she landed, she was fired.
That's pretty fucked up.
What she said is bad. I think it was horrible, honestly. On the same token, doesn't that come down to free speech? Doesn't what she said qualify as free speech? Stupid or not, if Sarah Palin can say the stupid shit she does, why can't Justine Sacco?
There's no reason why she can't. I mean, it's her personal Twitter, and she has the right to put whatever she wants on it, even if it's really offensive.
Look at the larger topic in this of the internet grasped onto this, again, not a public person, a private citizen. Does the company have the right then to just fire her for this? Again, she probably has an ethics clause somewhere buried in her contract that they use as the reason to fire her. So I'm not saying it's not legal. Should the internet have basically gotten her fired for not liking what she said?
Probably not. I can see how this would become such a snowballing kind of thing where people would share it and, you know, want to denounce her. But, I mean, this is a normal person who has a right to have an opinion, even if it's really fucked up.
But then haven't we been hearing more and more about people being fired for pictures they post on Facebook, people being fired for their Twitters and whatnot, usually not as publicly as this? Is this a good thing or a bad thing that what you say online now affects your day-to-day job, even if what you said has nothing to do with your job?
Yeah, it's like you hear stories about like elementary school teachers getting fired because there was a picture of them on Facebook holding a beer or something that is entirely harmless, but it's online so people can find it and use it against them. It's definitely scary to think about that anything that you post can come back to haunt you, because nothing disappears. Data remains somewhere, and there's always a way for somebody to get a hold of it. So it's kind of scary to think about that this sort of stuff is becoming more and more commonplace, that the age of the internet and the age of technology has created a place and an environment where even if you have an outlet like Facebook or Twitter, you don't always say what you think, even though that's exactly what it's for. It's for throwing your opinion out there and telling people what you feel or making a really inappropriate joke. But people who don't understand you can always take it the wrong way and use it against you. So it's practically discouraging people from putting their opinions out on social media.
I think this is actually, I can't believe, Kat, and I think you're going to agree with me, we're actually going to be siding with the right wing and Fox News on this one. I think this is trying to stifle the free discourse of ideas, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess you could put it that way. It's definitely an example of like an overreaction to something, and it's very much the culture of the internet. The internet, if you think about it, is a very scary place because people go online and they realize that nobody can touch them there. So they say and they do whatever they want, and they go to way more frightening extremes than they would in real life because you can't touch them, you can't hurt them there. So you see much bigger, more exaggerated reactions, and it can get scary. This is, you know, why Anonymous is so kind of powerful and scary, and this is why people kind of shy away from 4chan because it's kind of scary, and you just never know what people are going to do and how they're going to react to things. And you could, you know, end up in a lot of trouble if you just cross somebody the wrong way.
And I think that is, there is that angle. There's no doubt about that, Kat. But there's also the fact that, like I said, I got to go with Fox News on this one. And by the way, that hurt to say, but
physically painful.
Yeah. Fox News and the right wing were like, how is what she said any different than the kind of thing Sarah Silverman says on Jay Leno's show? I can't disagree with that. Sarah Silverman has a whole career out of saying horribly offensive and inappropriate things that tend to be funny. Personally, this tweet about the hope I don't get AIDS, just kidding, I'm white, it made me giggle. Does that make me a bad person?
Maybe a little.
Fair enough. but now, on the other hand, if Sarah Silverman had said, I'm going to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS, just kidding, I'm white, if she said that to Jay Leno, it would have gotten a laugh. That's where I'm saying, what is the difference, really?
Is it because Sarah Silverman's a comedian and this person is, what is she, like a PR person?
She was a communications director.
A communications director. Apparently not very good at communicating.
I think Sarah Silverman personally is funny. I think there is very much a hypocrisy with people like MSNBC or NBC in general, giving Sarah Silverman her own sitcom to say these things, giving her a forum, and then these same people jumping all over Justine Sacco for expressing her First Amendment rights. See what I did
there?
Well,
yes. But okay. So do you think NBC would give a shit if the internet hadn't persecuted her first?
No.
If it hadn't been picked up by everybody, NBC wouldn't give a crap.
No, but I think that that does show the hypocrisy of, like, the way MSNBC is always going after Fox News for, you know, being Fox News. MSNBC does the same things.
Well, yeah, they're both evil.
They're both hypocritical organizations, and hypocrisy is something I can't stand more than any other. I hate hypocrisy. So, to me, there is a big thing. This Duck Dynasty thing and the Justine Sacco thing do tie together. Is it violation of your First Amendment rights? Of course it's not. The government is not stepping in and doing any of this. On the other hand, it is trying to place a stigma on saying what you want in the public forum. And I think that's a dangerous, dangerous road to go down.
Because where does it, I mean, at what point are we going to still have any kind of free speech online if you can be persecuted for a tweet in bad taste? I mean, it's one thing for it to get shared and people are like, wow, that person's horrible. And then they close out the tab. But for somebody to get on a plane and when they get off, they've lost their job. I mean, I think when we have this kind of stuff on the internet, we kind of just think, okay, this is just online and I can rage and whatever and share it and make fun of this person. But this can have real life consequences. You know, somebody can step on a plane and lose their job by the time they're off. That's an issue. And it's really hard to say if it's going to get better or worse. Actually, I don't think it's really going to get any better. I think it's a... I hate to say slippery slope again, but
we
tread a very fine line between having this freedom to say whatever we want and you know, holding ourselves back on purpose. Like it's like being friends on Facebook with somebody you work with, and you want to bitch about your manager, but then you think, it might get back to my manager because I'm friends with this person. So you've lost that outlet to bitch about your manager because you could get fired.
If I'm not putting words in your mouth, you believe that you should be able to say what you want. Now, I would add on to that, you should be able to say what you want, but as a public figure, you also are held to a different standard, right or wrong. You also have to be able to deal with the consequences, like Alec Baldwin getting fired for calling a reporter a cocksucking faggot. He knew that probably was going to blow back on him. And just like with Duckfucker, MSNBC has the right to decide whether he remains employed there. You can say what you want, but you have to be willing to pay the consequences. I lost a lot of people listening to my shows after some of the inappropriate jokes I've made. Does that stop me from making inappropriate jokes? No.
No, because It's this whole idea of the people think that the freedom of speech means not taking responsibility for what you say. People say, hey, this guy got fired because for stating his opinion, and people have latched onto it because it's a religious based opinion. But I think if he'd have come out and said something like, I think all black people are really fucking dumb, people would have been like, ooh, that's bad. We have to do something about this. And nobody would have disagreed. You probably wouldn't hear conservatives saying quite so much about it. And
I actually think you would. I hate to say it. I think the conservatives really would defend a racist comment like that.
That's true. They probably would. Maybe the Jews. I'm trying to think of who you could make fun of that the Fox News wouldn't try and save them.
Pedophiles.
Yeah, you could say that pedophiles are fantastic people and they're all just misunderstood and we should let them work in schools. And they'd be like, whoa, let's walk that back. And I think everybody could agree that that's a statement that you probably shouldn't be making, and that could misrepresent, you know, your employer.
So, Kat, express your free speech, your First Amendment rights, which are not being violated, to tell people where they can find the cat.
Right. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdistcat. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/labyrinthcat, and you can find me over on That Guy with the Glasses under the podcast section for my other show, Nerd to the Third Power.
And you can find me, 1201beyond.com. Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Read my weekly column, Sanity is Razor Thin, at geekjuicemedia.com. And if you find me on Facebook and friend me, you'll probably see me making some kind of inappropriate joke that'll either offend you or make you smile. So it's worth a try. Also, go to 1201beyond.com, buy some t-shirts, damn it.
Freedom of speech! That's the motherfucking bullshit. You say the wrong thing, they like your ass up quick. The FCC says profanity, no airplay. They can suck my dick while I take a shit all day. You think I give a fuck about some silly bitch named Gore? Yo, PMRC, here we go.
War!
Yo, Tiff, what's the matter? You ain't getting no dick. You're bitching about rock and roll. That's censorship, dumb bitch. The Constitution said we all got a right to speak. Say what we want, Tiff. Your argument is weak. Censor records, TV, school books, too. And who decides what's right to hear you? Hey, PMRC, you stupid fucking asshole. The sicker on the record is what makes yourself go. Can't you see, you alcoholic idiot? The more you try to suppress us, the larger we get.
Parental advisory.
What I'm talking about? Freedom of speech, yeah, boy. But just watch what you say. Freedom of speech, yeah. Just watch what you say. Freedom of speech, yeah, boy. Just watch what you say.
You have the right to remain silent.
Fuck that right. I want the right to talk. I want the right to speak. I want the right to walk where I wanna. Yell and I'm gonna tell and rebel every time I'm on a microphone on the stage. Coherent. The knowledge I drop will be heard by millions. We ain't the problems. We ain't the villains. It's the suckers depriving the truth from our children. You can't hide the fact, Jack. There's violence in the streets every day. Any fool can recognize that. But you try to lie and lie and say America's some motherfucking apple pie. Yo, you gotta be high to believe that you're gonna change the world by a sticker on a record sleeve. Cause once you take away my right to speak, everybody in the world got shit creep.
Shit creep.
Shit creep. You know what I'm talking about? Freedom of speech, yeah. Just watch what you say. Freedom of speech, yeah, boy. Just watch what you say. Freedom of speech, yeah. Just watch what you say.
Explicit lyrics, lyrics, lyrics.
Let me tell you about down south, where a motherfucker might as well not even have a mouth. Columbus, Georgia said they'd lock me up if I got on the stage in my show and said fuck,
fuck.
So I thought for a minute and said no, I wasn't even gonna do a damn show. Cause for me to change my words and my rhymes was never gonna happen cause of no sellouts of mine. But I vowed to get those motherfuckers one day. They even arrested Bobby Brown and Cool J. Yo, they got this coming cause I'm mad and I'm gunning homeboys and there's no running. I wanna tell you how I feel about you. No fool, no lies, no slack. It's just straight fact. Columbus, Georgia, you can suck my dick. You ain't nothing but a piece of fucking shit on the damn map.
Map, map.
Freedom of speech, yeah, boy. Just watch what you say.
Freedom of speech.
Just watch what you say.
Freedom of speech,
yeah, boy. Just watch what you say.
Parental advisory.
Freedom of speech. Let them take it from me. Next, I take it from you. Then what you gonna do? Let them censor books. Let them censor art. CMRC, this is where the witch hunt starts. The sense of what we see, we read, we hear, we learn. Your books will burn.
Burn.
You better
burn.
Think it out. We should be able to say anything. Our lungs were meant to shout. Say what we feel. Yell out what's real. Even though it may not bring mass appeal. Your opinion is yours. My opinion is mine. If you don't like what I'm saying, fine. But don't close it. Always keep an open mind. A man who fails to listen is blind. We only got one right left in the world today. Let me have it or throw the Constitution away.
Away.
Away. I'm talking about freedom of speech. Yeah, boy, just watch what you say.
Freedom of speech.
Yeah, just watch what you say.
Freedom of speech.
Yeah, boy, just watch what you say.
Explicit lyrics. Lyrics. Lyrics.
So what they're trying to do with radio, with this McCarran-Walter Act and a lot of other ways, is start by saying that they're protecting the public from wicked rock bands or girly magazines or whatever. But if you follow the chain of dominoes that falls down, what they're really trying to do is shut off our access to information itself. And if they can't do it by law, they know there's other ways to do it.
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.